Welcome to Is This Real Life? A Bravo podcast that relates our favorite shows to our own lives and the world around us. I'm your host, Mandy Slutsker. Let's get to it. Hi, everyone. Hope you had a good week. I actually had one of my most favorite Thanksgivings in recent memory, and most of it probably had to do with the fact that my niece turned one, and she is so funny. Like, she has a sense of humor, even though she can't talk yet, and she can't walk yet. I don't know. She just does the most hilarious stuff, and then she laughs at herself. So we definitely know she's a Slutsker. Also, on the flight to Minneapolis, I had a fantastic flight attendant. I believe his name was Derek. And I fly with Stassi. And he's like, oh my gosh, what's your dog's name? She's so cute. And I said, Stassi. And he looks at me and he's like, and I said, yeah, Stassi Schroeder, Vanderpump Rules, pre-cancellation. He was laughing, and then he's like, do you watch Housewives also? And I was like, oh, do I ever? So Derek, if you are listening, because I told you about my podcast, please DM me. I would love to have you on the podcast. It was so fun. Also, this week, a friend and I decided to go to View, which is the bar and restaurant at the top of the Hotel Washington, where Chris Bassett was the general manager. This is the place where he responded to Ashley Darby's story, being like, you should have come to the View. So we went to the View, and Chris actually doesn't work there anymore. It turns out he left in August, and I believe he is a private chef now. So anyone in the DC area, if you're looking for a private chef, you should reach out to him. But it was a really great venue, and it's so fun to be able to see the whole city, especially with Christmas lights and being able to see the National Christmas Tree on the Ellipse and to see the White House from there and all the monuments. It was great. So if you live in the DC area, recommend going there. They have nice drinks and snacks and stuff like that. All right. So while I was away on Thanksgiving, I finally caught up on Family Karma. And again, I just find this so joyous. I love it. Amrit and Nicholas, I think, are my favorite Bravo celebrity couple, like, ever. I just love them. And I felt like a proud mama when Amrit made partner at his law firm. I was like, yes, like, this is amazing. And I don't know. They're also just good reality stars. They're fun to watch. I like the fact that they're friends, but also their parents are friends. There's just this, like, kind of, this community dynamic that feels very familiar, even though I'm not Indian. You know, everyone's in each other's business, but there's a lot of love, and I really enjoy it. Now, one thing I am not enjoying is Anisha. So she used to be a favorite of mine on the show because I thought she was sarcastic and funny. I identified with her as someone in their mid to late 30s who is still single, who wants to find a partner. But how she's going about it is a little bit weird to me. If you are a reality TV star and you want to be on the show, but you have a partner that is private that you want to protect, I understand that, but then maybe step away from the show, because now she doesn't even live there and she keeps flying back to film. And I know that Amrit and Nicholas did that for a little bit when they were living in Chicago, but something feels weird about this. And it's like, I don't know, both Anisha and Monica's relationships, it feels like their male partner has the upper hand and gets to kind of dictate everything in the relationship. So for Monica and Rishi, it's like Rishi kind of sets the tone for the relationship and how fast things are moving. If he doesn't want to have a conversation about marriage, then they're not going to have that conversation. And she just, I guess, gets quiet. And I think she's been asking these questions for a while. And I wish she would just be like, listen, we need to have this conversation. If I don't get the answers that I deserve, then, you know, I don't think we're the right match for each other. Not just because I want to get married and you're not ready, but because we can't have hard conversations. because you just decide when we don't. And for Anisha, it just feels like, okay, so she moved to Arizona, but why did she have to do it at the specific time she did? And what does her moving to Arizona and being in a relationship have to do with her inability to be good friends to Vishal and Risha and, you know, RSVP for their wedding? I don't know. It just all rings kind of weird to me. And I don't like when people kind of fall all over themselves for a partner because they think it's better to be with that person than to be alone. It just doesn't feel like they're with someone that appreciates them. Now, we've not met Anisha's boyfriend. We know nothing about him, but I just don't like the sound of any of that. Now, speaking of couples, I also have gotten caught up on Winter House, and wow, the animosity coming towards Lindsay Hubbard is extreme. And I can see how people may not like her, and I can see maybe how she's not a particularly good friend to some of the other women in the house, or maybe to Danielle. We may end up seeing that this coming Summer House season 7, I think it is. But the animosity towards her and Carl as a couple and the hypocrisy that all these other couples have kind of judging them. I mean, Kyle and Amanda, I believe, shouldn't be judging things given their history. Craig and, you know, Paige, everyone has pointed out that Paige was also messing around with Andrea and Craig was with Naomi as they were dating and figuring things out. So I think this whole thing with Austin is people are trying to make it into a bigger deal, I think, than it needs to be. And the fact that no one's actually able to come out and tell her, hey, this is the thing that everyone is saying. I know that Luke did, but he didn't have the full story. He wasn't talking about, oh, Lindsay touched Austin's like junk while they were eating McDonald's. I don't know. The whole thing is just weird. The only person that seems to be genuinely concerned is Kyle. And I think he's the only person that made a really good point, which is Lindsay and Carl, it wasn't great that first month that they got together. She was drinking and he didn't like how she behaved when she was drinking. And it probably was triggering for him to be around someone who is drinking heavily. And he confronted her about it and she decided to quit, both in solidarity to him, but also as time went on, she felt better being sober. And he's worried, like, what if she starts drinking again? What would that mean for their relationship? Because it's progressed because both of them have been sober. And I think that was a really good point. But again, I just don't know why more people aren't happy that they have each other, even if they're annoying. And even if Lindsay may not be the best friend, it's just, I don't quite get it. I also didn't really understand what Jason was trying to get at. I thought the conversation that he was going to have with Lindsay was going to be very different. More about, like, you didn't really talk about how this impacted me or you didn't let me have a voice. That's actually ended up not being true. Jason filmed with Lindsay for last season of Summer House. She came out and said it. And the scene got cut, but he filmed with her. So he knew that at some point this was going to come out on the show. So was he asking her, hey, could you give me a heads up when the show that you're on is going to air? Or like what? It was just very odd to me. He knew it was going to come out. Why could he not figure it out for himself when it was going to air? And did he think that this wasn't as a big of a storyline that it wouldn't like hit the tabloids? I don't really get where he's coming from. And the idea that it was upsetting to him because some of his relatives heard about the miscarriage from the media rather than from him, that's a him problem. He should have talked to his relatives about it. He knew that it was going to come out on the show. This also, there was like at least 8 months in between when the miscarriage happened and when Summer House aired. So at some point in those 8 months, did he not talk to his relatives and kind of prep them and let them know that this was coming and this is something that happened to him? I felt like he was trying to put the blame on Lindsay, and I don't really think that made a whole lot of sense because his whole premise was you should have given me a heads up, but that, I don't know, he had a heads up, but it was very weird to me. Anyway, I had such a pleasure talking to Nathan and Mariana this week. They're from the podcast Bravo, Bravo, Effing Bravo. They're my favorite people from down under. They live in Australia. They have some of the best accents you will ever hear. We just really dive right into it this episode. And I'll warn you, Mariana's not a big fan of Wendy and is a little bit more Team Mia. And while I'm not Wendy's biggest fan, I'm definitely Team Wendy in this whole situation. So we go at it. And I appreciate that. You know, I think it's important to remember that this is just a housewives show and that we can all have different opinions. And I hope you guys enjoy this week's podcast. I had a lot of fun recording it. As always, if you enjoy the podcast, go ahead, give it a 5-star rating and leave a kind review. And if you have any constructive criticism or just want to reach out for any reason, you can find me at Mandy Slutsker on Instagram. All right, we'll take a quick break and then back with Nathan and Mariana. Hi, everyone. I am here with two of my favorite people. They come from a land down under. Oh my God, my jokes are so bad today. Nathan and Mariana from the podcast Bravo, Bravo, Effing Bravo, here today to talk about Potomac and Salt Lake. How are you guys doing?
G'day, Mandy.
Oh, God, you're funny.
We're doing well, love. How are you?
Okay, can you stop with the deep voice? Because okay. That's strange, man. That's effing strange.
Well, we were just chatting offline how you guys have started. You've really made it in the podcast world because you've gotten a couple of 1-star reviews from very angry listeners. So yeah. I have to ask, you know, what are people so upset about?
Oh, me. It's definitely me. No one hates Nathan. It's because I hate Wendy.
Oh, you would you say hate?
She does. Oh,
no, I hate the character of Wendy. I think she's the new Candace, and I don't enjoy her on my TV. I mean, I never have enjoyed her on my TV.
It all started with the glass toss, with the drink toss on Wendy, because Mariana, I think your hot take was Wendy was provoking Mia by saying stuff about the husband.
Oh, yeah, that bugs
so
me.
So I think a lot of people online are like, she didn't start this, but you're saying Wendy started it.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Wendy was definitely inferring something about Mia and her husband. She's like, I don't know what you and your husband do, but me and my husband, it's like, what are you trying to say about me and my relationship? And then she later did say it in the fight when mm-hmm. she was commenting about their sexual relationship and how they might be open to like threesomes or whatever. So first of all, she's putting that down. What if they do that? Then you're basically judging them for that in a very negative way. But yeah, there was an inference. I was with Mayor 100% in that I know Wendy meant something and I would have been just as pissed off and gone, you meant something. What the fuck did you mean by that? And she did
and you're
mean
from
something
the talk shit, get hit school of thought, aren't you?
Mate.
You are.
I am. If you stand in front of me and go, what are you going to do? Hit me? What are you going to do? Hit me? You know what? I'm going to motherfucking hit you. Yes. If you ask me to smack you in the face, don't be surprised when I smack you in the face.
So I am from the opposite school of thought. But you know what? Nuh-uh. There is room in this housewives umbrella for everyone.
When someone is pressing your buttons to provoke a reaction, why are they surprised when they get one? Like, go, like, fuck off. Sorry, yeah. I can't deal. I can't
deal with your
bullshit. Well, we can
just jump right in because this, you know, this episode starts with a fallout from the fight. And, yes. I mean, would you at least agree that Mia is the one that brought up a topic to cause Wendy to be upset?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Wendy was like... Totally.
What are you talking about? She was like not reactive until Mia kept pushing it. Like it went over a minute before she was like, wait.
Yeah, yeah. I felt bad for Wendy, like being at that restaurant. Everyone's talking shit about her and Peter. Like she was being alienated from the jump, mm-hmm. which was a tough place for her to be in.
But. Yeah. Wendy, I have been pretty open about loving first season and then not liking her the next two seasons. And I think for me, it's just because she came off one way and I thought that was who she was. And that's not who she is. She's actually someone who speaks as if she's confident, but actually isn't and is very unsure of herself. And so I just want her to be a little more honest about who she is.
I just think she's jealous. This whole boss bitch, boss thing, it's like, first of all, you're a professor. You are not a boss. You get a check that someone else cuts. You ain't no boss. And I think that that is her issue. She came on this show to say she thought that the world would see her and that some producer from The View would call her and say, we need you, we need you. And that didn't happen. And she's jealous.
Jealous of who?
She's anyone who's
ugly leather pants.
Anyone who is a boss, and like it or hate it, Mia is technically a boss. She owns 15 like franchises. I'm not saying that that wasn't a business that her partner developed and then said, cool, take over or whatever. But as is portrayed on the show, that's all I know is that I just think Wendy's jealous. She keeps bringing up this boss. I'm a boss. I'm a boss. It's like, well, that's clearly what you want, but that's not what you is.
Oh, interesting.
So sit the fuck down.
No, there's definitely something about her career that she is not happy about. And she's looking elsewhere, like to develop different businesses.
But why are you developing a chip on your shoulder along the way? Because, yeah, it's hard. I think that's what it is. I think she didn't think it would be as hard as it is. And it's bothering her and she's taking it out on others.
I just don't like when she gets on her high horse about her education. Like, it's amazing that she's educated, like, good for you. But when she's saying, like, oh, Mia, you don't know how to read books. You probably read Dr. Seuss. I wrote a book. It's like, no one's reading your book, Wendy. Like, come on.
Yeah. No, agreed. I think she is very unkind when it comes to those types of things. But you know what? People have been really unkind to her as well.
Yeah.
So are you more on...
Is that justified?
What?
I'm sorry. How is that justified? And you know what? Don't be bagging out Dr. Seuss. I love Dr. Seuss, okay? And he's actually a real doctor. Actually, I have no idea if he is. I just said that.
Wendy's a real doctor. Anyone who has a doctorate and has completed a PhD program is a doctor. Dr. Jill Biden is a doctor. You don't have to be a medical doctor to be a doctor. There's a difference between being a medical doctor and being a PhD doctor.
I know that there's a difference, but we all know when we say real doctor, that's what we mean. I'm not saying that someone with a PhD isn't a real doctor and doesn't deserve their props. Please. I only did undergrad. There was no way I was doing any more than that. That shit's hard. I get it. But we all know what we mean when we say that. It's a colloquialism to say, you're not a real doctor. We all know what that means.
It pisses me off though, because I think it's trying to minimize the work that people do as if like being a medical doctor is I don't know. It's just, I think people do it a lot with the president's wife, the first lady, who,
It
really irks me.
Right. Because that's cool. I don't know. I just don't care. I didn't get one, so I don't care.
So, Nathan, are you more along the lines of Karen, who is like, listen, you guys both did wrong, and, you know, I'm not going to stand up for either of you. I just want to make sure you're both okay.
Totally. And I feel like Karen's getting the bad rap. She can't win. She's in the worst situation, like, again, where no one's ever happy with her. But, like, she just wants to have a birthday dinner and not get hit by flying wine. It's just like, can we not celebrate this woman's birth, please?
I know. I just, I don't think it's straddling the fence. I think she's calling out poor behavior when she sees it. And she thinks Wendy was wrong for saying the things about Mia's husband. And she thinks Mia was wrong for physically kind of launching at her. Had security not been there, I think she would have done something along the lines of Monique.
Oh, yeah, probably.
For sure. She was so mad.
If security wasn't there, I think Wendy would have sat her ass down and not done all that she did. I think Wendy was feeling brave because security was there. because I said it last week. Mia did not grow up in a white picket fence house. I bet she can land a punch. So you wouldn't provoke her unless you felt confident that it wouldn't result in your bloodshed. So I, if security wasn't there, I think Mia, yes, she would have said, Wendy would have said some stuff, but then she would have sat down.
Oh, I don't think so at all. I think in general, people like Wendy, because I'm the same way, don't think violence is an option in any situation. So you're acting how you would act, not as if you would get hit. Like, that's, getting hit isn't a thing that happens. It shouldn't be, in my opinion. I have always said that there is no words that you should be able to say that would lead to someone hurting you. If you don't like people, someone's words, you can walk away from them.
But we're human beings.
I know people say that. Time. I think it's like, just once, as you get older, you learn to control your emotions more. Like when you're 2 and 3, you act out a lot in grade school, in middle school, even in high school, you're still, your brain is still forming and you learn it's not okay to do certain things. But I think some people, for whatever reason, haven't taken that lesson or don't believe that to be true. So we're in a society of people where some think it's appropriate to fight in certain situations and others don't. And I'm one of the people who just doesn't think it's ever appropriate. So I would never think I could say something rude and that would lead to me getting something thrown at me. It just doesn't. I'm like, that's not how adults handle situations.
I'm a walk away. I get to that point where I'm like, I want to cut a bitch. So I'm walking away.
But exactly. That is what it means to be an adult. You get pissed. You still have the same emotions. You just take it down a notch. And you.
Yes, but I interact with people who don't behave like adults every day. It's called work. So one doesn't expect. Come on. How many times a day are you on the phone with someone for work and you hang up and you just think, that person is so lazy, I would rather them not be on the other end of the phone? Happens every day, right?
I'm
constantly dealing with people where you're just like, you're just lazy. They're not adulting, right?
Yeah.
So I don't expect people to be adulting when they're mad because I don't see, I see people not adulting when they're not mad.
Right. They also... people kind of revert back, right, to childhood stuff when they're 100%. Triggered a certain way.
100%.
So it seems like Robin, Giselle, and Jacqueline think Karen should have defused the situation, which seems like a convenient way to get the blame off of Mia for acting out and blaming Karen instead for not doing something.
It's like, why is Karen responsible to defuse the situation? They are all there as well.
Is it because she's like their elder and like, why are they doing this to her?
Because they obviously, Karen's supposed to be having this, we started off the season with Karen and Mia saying they live down the road, they're great friends now. So that's maybe why they're thinking you're her friend, you could have defused it.
Or also, she's also friends with Wendy and she could have. I think she was just so shocked.
Is anyone really friends with Wendy except for Candace?
I think Karen.
Really?
I think, yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool.
But gotta ask you guys. Okay, so it was nice to see Ashley check on Wendy and kind of put her issues with Candace to the side to be able to check on Wendy and be a friend to Wendy. Like, how do you guys see Ashley's reaction in all of this?
Yeah, who would have thought this is what brings Ashley and Candace together? Who would have thought? I would never have predicted.
Hypocrite. She's a hypocrite.
But, okay, so that's what's so funny to me is that they're all accusing each other of hypocrisy. So they think she's a hypocrite because she supported Monique, but she's saying, I didn't support Monique being violent. I just wanted to protect her from going to prison, potentially.
Yeah.
Right? She's not saying, like, I thought.
Prison.
I don't know. I mean, the judicial system in the United States, particularly against Black people, is not great. And
I didn't think of that.
It's not unheard of to have someone's children taken from them for a relatively small offense.
That's fucked up.
Yes. It is. And that is exactly where Ashley's mind went.
Oh, my God. Okay, now I'm feeling sick to my stomach. Okay, fine.
Yeah. So, I mean, I thought what Monique did was horrendous, and I thought the fact that she tried to – oh, I really did. And the fact that she tried to, like, plant seeds ahead of time to make everyone think it happened a different way than it happened.
And I still believe it happened how she said it happened.
No.
I saw the footage.
I did too. So this is so great. That's what I love about these shows is we can all watch the exact same thing and come away with like vastly different takeaways.
Yeah,
and we should be able to disagree. It's okay, you know. But I think it's also
TV show like
funny
like
that. Giselle and Robin, who were like, no violence ever. It makes us all look bad. You know, I'm raising girls that will never do that. And then look at what Mia did, and they're okay with it because it's against Wendy.
Okay, you know? Can we just stop? What Mia did was not violent. It was aggressive, but she didn't put a hand on her. She splashed a drink in her face. I mean, what housewives... franchise, have they not done that? It's par for the course. It's
a beverage. I didn't think the drink was as bad as the like lunging at her and having security like literally almost lose her because she was
again I don't believe so that hard. Any of that would have happened if security wasn't there.
You don't think Mia would have lunged after Wendy?
No, I don't. I think that there was a confidence that security was there that would stop her. So
oh,
she
on
could.
Both sides?
Yes. It's that you can be physically aggressive. Like you can puff up your chest, so to speak, when you know. Like I've seen it with girls. Like they get all like in each other's face. Nothing physical happens. Some dude comes in and says, hey, back off. And all of a sudden they start like flailing their arms towards the other person.
Yeah.
It's like, bitch, you knew that dude was there. You weren't going to do shit. No, I don't believe either of them would have cut a bitch. I mean, do I think that Mia could have eventually got there with the way that Wendy was pushing her buttons? Yes, but I don't think either of them would have gotten even verbally as aggressive as they did if security wasn't there that first time going, hey, 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 and then they're like, then they got more aggressive from that point. No, I thought it was all puffery. That's why I'm like, Wendy, get over yourself, because she's making it that it was bigger than it was.
I guess.
Two bitches had a fucking argument. It wasn't that big.
I think everyone there seems to have a reaction to have thought it was pretty bad.
Yeah. Because, yeah, I don't know. I've seen worse.
Right. I mean, we've all seen worse.
That's what I'm saying. I think that then, like, I think that if I was in a room where someone launched the table by flipping it, which we all love, we all think that's classic. You don't think that that was quote unquote violent towards what's her name?
Danielle Staub.
Exactly. We all think that that was an iconic scene. But all of a sudden, someone flipped. How many times in Jersey has someone thrown a drink on someone's head, handbag, whatever?
And thrown them like, in a pool even.
Your husband's in the pool. I mean, come on. We are making a big deal about this. Sorry.
Okay.
No one got hit.
I hear you. I don't think it's anywhere near on the level of what Monique did, where someone was really kind of hurt. Physically.
Like there was physical contact. That's, you know, have your discussion in your opinion. But there were no physical contact. I mean.
Okay. Okay.
Nothing
happened. I hear you. I disagree, but I hear you.
No, that's cool.
I'm kind of that's with cool. Candace, which is like, you can't do whatever you want just because you can't use your own words. I think people who fight are people who don't know how to use their vocabulary to cut deep.
You're probably right.
And some people think that Candace cuts too deep, right? And that because she cuts too deep, she should be reprimanded physically. So it's just an interesting topic because people kind of are all over the place. What I think a lot of people agree with, maybe you're not one, but is that to have one person from the cast be ostracized over it, especially the person who wasn't the initial aggressor to like begin that conversation, feels nasty. It feels like they're trying to play the role of production and the executives at the network and get her no airtime, kind of kick her off the cast. And that's not their job, right?
I think Wendy should be at the beach.
Wendy talks about this.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like with Wendy leaving the house, we thought that was sort of like a production thing where they had to split them up somehow.
I'm sure.
So it's not really like the cast ostracizing her. Well, at least not all of them. I mean, Ashley and Karen are putting in the work with Wendy, which is good. But like, what are the other girls meant to do? Like, what's Giselle meant to do in this situation?
So I think everyone should have pressured Mia to allow Wendy to come to the beach party. Like, that just seems like accepting Mia's take on that seems weird. Like, why does she hold the power of who gets to be at this beach, especially when it's Karen's birthday? That's weird. Well,
yeah.
I agree. You know? I mean, I hate Wendy, but Wendy is a cast member. She should have been at the beach.
Yeah. It would have been fun, you know? They were having a good time.
We saw the scene of Karen inviting her. We saw the scene of Karen telling Mia she's inviting her. And Mia said, fine, I won't go. Well, then that's up to you, sweetheart.
Yeah.
On the flip side, I prefer seeing Wendy go off with Candace for the recording session, because if that was just Candace on her own, I would have been so bored. But at least with Wendy there, we got like it made the episode more interesting.
Yeah. I thought that was actually such a fun scene. I normally haven't liked Wendy this season, like how she's been behaving. It's been irking me. I thought this week she was so much lighter and more fun, despite being, you know, hurt by what happened. When she joked with Ashley at the beginning of the episode about Mia being lucky that she didn't have her straight wig on.
Yeah,
because so funny.
She had her curly hair, so her, you know, the water hitting it didn't mess everything up. I thought that was hilarious.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what we want to see out of Wendy. We want her to be a little lighter.
Totally. I think all of our shows could be a little bit lighter sometimes. Like, especially like Salt Lake.
We'll get to that.
We need that to be lighter for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see how you guys feel about friendship roles. So this is something that seems there's a lot of correlation, I think, between Potomac and Salt Lake over the last week. Both with Jen Shah and Mia having these ideas about what friendship means that, in my opinion, are very elementary. It's like what you learn a friend is when you're 3 years old, as opposed to what a friend is when you're 50. And they believe that ride or die is ride or die, and you don't call out your friend's poor behavior is basically what Mia has said. And Jen Shah, according to Heather, says, you know, she follows a different set of friendship rules. It's either ride or die loyalty or I will burn you alive. So where do you guys stand in terms of like what it means to be a friend?
I don't want to be friends with someone who will burn me alive. Like, I do not want to be a friend with Jen Shah.
No. Well, she's going to have lots of friends soon.
So sad.
Oh, no, you know what's sad? That she doesn't have to go to jail for Christmas. That's what's sad.
Yeah. Well, she'll be in jail for the next 11 to 14 Christmases.
Oh, good Lord.
Because she's not getting out on good behavior. If there's one thing I know in life, it's
that. No. Oh, no, she probably will. Fuck, Teresa did.
But
okay, Teresa can rein it in. I don't know if Jen can rein it in.
There's a difference there, which is shocking.
True.
Unless she does come back and she's all namaste and Zen Jen, we'll see.
Yeah. No, I'm with you guys. Like, sorry, you're not real friends if I have to pretend that, you know, you could murder someone, but I'll still, you know, ride for you. That's not how she works.
Yeah, I like that idea in abstract. Like if someone said to me like, oh, I've got your back if you kill someone, I help bury the body. I'm like, oh, great, thanks. But like in reality, no, that's never going
to
happen.
It's like you're an accomplice to murder. It's like,
I'm not helping anyone dig up a hole. I can't use a shovel.
I mean, you know, unless you're paying for my flights to some non-extradition country, you're on your own, bitch.
Yep.
Yeah, I just, it's so interesting to see Mia just go after Karen so hard. It's like, you didn't have my back. You didn't do this. And then at the end of the episode, when Karen tries to talk to her and she's like, Karen says loyalty is doing what you want them to do, even if you're wrong. And
it's crazy.
like, you want to control people. You want us to ask you for permission to bring Wendy. You want us to ask you for permission to go visit Wendy. You know, you're trying to control everything. And then the thing that I thought was the most telling and very foreshadowing was as soon as Karen left, Jacqueline goes, so you guys are done? Like, you aren't friends anymore?
Like, yeah, that's strange.
As if one argument can end a friendship.
Because yeah, that's weird.
I think that's what Mia has done her whole life.
Yeah, probably.
But it's also like
new friends.
Karen's also letting you fight your own battles. You know, like if Karen had spoken up at that dinner, it's just like Mia can talk for herself. I mean, she can't obviously, but like in that situation, like if it's my friend, I'd be like, well, you know, they can speak up for themselves. It's not really my job to be their mouthpiece.
No, the friend is there, and like, whatever her name, Jacqueline, is that her name? I just called her Bestie. Like, Bestie did the right thing, which is let Mia handle it herself and then at some point go, okay, we're done, we're going. That's what the friend does. Pulls you out of the situation before it goes too far.
Like, yeah, get Mia out before she snaps off her nails.
Right.
That's it. The rest that's of it. Them. Like, I'm not going to sit. My friend wouldn't want me to sit there and fight their battle for them, but they would when they leave, they would want me to go with them and I, you know, to make sure I'm okay. So,
yeah, Mia's just and then what I mean, have you been following her on social media and how she keeps popping in and out saying,
Mia?
Oh, I'm not going to be on Twitter anymore or whatever. And then she'll come and she's like to apologize kind of, but doesn't say exactly what for. Mm. You know, it's so bizarre. Her behavior to me is so strange. She's just an enigma. Like, I cannot figure her out.
I mean, I'm not a Mia stan or anything. I just hate Wendy. Like, I think...
So you're like Giselle and Robin.
I'm like, okay, so can we talk about Robin?
Yes.
Until this season, Robin annoyed me. It was annoying to see her on my TV knowing that she was getting like at least a $400,000 a year check for doing nothing. And then this season... Robin is now my MVP. What the hell, Robin? Where's this Robin been? She's fantastic. TMZ. Loved it. Thoughts?
I mean, I've always liked Robin. I like basically everyone on the show. That's why I like this show so much, even if they don't like each other. Like, I like Giselle and I like Karen. I don't having to choose. And so for me, I can call out when I think their behavior is crappy, which I thought Robin pulling out the phone was antagonizing. Like, it was adding a little bit more gasoline on the fire, you know, but maybe she was like, I want to get footage of this because I don't trust production to show it the way it happened. And
that's what I think.
And I also can understand they can refer to it
the next moment, not 5 months later.
Right. I think
it was awesome.
I understood. But the way she did it, and I guess she said she didn't know her flashlight or whatever was on, but it was like, can you imagine getting a blinding light in your face after like someone
it would stir you up a bit.
Yeah, it definitely didn't calm the situation any. I think Robin wanted Wendy to snap. That's what I think.
Oh, I think she probably did, yeah. I think they did, sort of.
No, I thought it was fucking great. I need more of it. It was brilliant TV. And this season, Robin's. See, she's like bringing. Everyone's saying Robin's like this season pot stirrer. I'm like, she's not doing a Lisa Rinna stirring the pot with like nothing. Like, everything she's doing is making sense. It's great TV. It makes sense. There's a logic to her arguments, which is why I think Robin should do it more because she's actually kind of good at it. Like, whenever she's getting across her point to something, it always follows through. Her argument in my mind follows through, whereas some of the others, I'll say something, it's like, that was out of left field and it makes no fucking sense. So, yeah, I'm really enjoying Robin this season. She can get a contract for next season now. She's finally showing up to work.
So,
thank you.
Here's what I always want to know from people who have strong feelings towards some of the cast and don't like the other parts of the cast. Do you want Wendy to be off the show completely?
She grinds my gears, yeah. I think her character on the show is completely unnecessary.
Okay.
We got Candace. We don't need Candace 2.0.
Okay.
Really don't. What is she, what does, if she wasn't there, what's missing?
I mean, for me, I always enjoy the immigrant story. I feel like we haven't gotten as much of it since the first season. So I would like to see more of her mom, and because she acts completely different around her mother. And I feel like you get to know she's like afraid. I guess they're all afraid of their moms.
Yeah.
This show, they're all a little bit like have issues. But I don't know. I at first was really excited to see someone who is professionally accomplished also like show that they can be on a show like this. I loved it when Dr. Tiffany Moon was on Dallas. That was peak
me
for
too.
Me. So I was kind of hoping that she could fill that role.
She doesn't.
But I don't know if she does. Yeah, because I don't think she's as sure of herself as Dr. Moon was.
Yeah, she pivoted really quickly into candles. And it's
yeah, like she's the candle lady. Well, she's the 1 week candle lady. Like she's like
1 week.
I don't see her being a professor. I see her like saying how fucking busy she is, but then she has time to sit down and write in like an ideas journal. Like, come on, how busy are you? Who has time to write in a feckin' journal and call themselves busy? Calm down.
She does have three kids, which I think is hard.
I think that's crazy too. But I don't know. I think she's going on and on about how busy she is, but I don't see her doing anything except having bullshit meetings about wanting to open a bar fake storyline and wanting a candle line sort of fake storyline. She kind of walked herself into that one and had to keep going. I don't believe anything she says. I think she's fake, fake, fake.
I mean, that's fair. I can see that.
You kind of agree, but not necessarily that forcefully. I think that kind of is almost along the lines of what you're saying, is she sold us one personality season one,
yes,
and she sold us another personality season two.
And
now
I,
her third season,
I like
she's selling us another.
And I,
she's selling us another personality. Right. Like, I'm done.
I just want to know who she is, and can she just show us who she is? And if she's saying, oh, I'm the same person the whole time, well, you're not really showing us what's going on in your head. And she had this interview with Carlos King where she explained, you know, my whole life I've done things for my mom and my parents, and I went to law school. I actually failed out. Then there was this whole family meeting about like, well, what do I do next? And
oh my God.
I got a PhD. And so I don't think most people realize what it's like to live with an immigrant parent who has such high expectations of you. It's very similar to Dr. Moon, how she was constantly trying to appease her mother and achieve all of these things. But why not talk about it that way and say, I've done all these things to kind of live her dream that she didn't get in this country, but I'm not sure if it's my dream. Instead,
well, then tell us
she
that.
Exactly. That's what I have been saying.
Then I might actually like you because you're being a human being.
Right. Right.
I don't like these pretend Wendy's. I don't like them. They're great.
Zen Wen, that's not you either. Like, none of it is you. Who are you? You know?
Honestly, it's season three. I've lost interest.
Mm-hmm.
I've lost interest. Now she's trying to be mini Candace. Lost interest.
There is a lot of storyline around her, so, you know.
Yeah.
That's where I feel like she's integral.
Yeah, okay, fine. You can keep her. I don't want to.
Can
you tell that why I'm getting one-star reviews?
You know, but I mean, these are just our thoughts on Housewives, and I hope people are able to take a deep breath, and it's okay if there are people who disagree with you. Mariana and I disagree with each other. That's fine. Like, you know,
I mean,
people just get so worked up. It's fun for me too. I'm so interested in hearing how you are processing what we saw in the last few episodes, because you process it so differently than I do. And I find that fascinating.
Me too, hon.
Which is why I like having this podcast and talking to people, you know, who think differently. Like, that's okay. I do feel like Wendy has been mistreated, even if I don't like her the most. And so I want to see her treated like the rest of the cast. I don't want to see her ostracized. And I don't think it's fair, especially for screen time, to try and, like, push out one person. I don't like when they do it on other shows. And I don't like when they're doing it on Potomac.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, I can't stand Wendy, but she should have been at the beach. She's right. on the show.
Yeah.
Like, let's stop pretending that the cast have a feckin' say. They don't. Girl should have been on the beach.
Also, can Mia kick people out of that place? I'd be like, okay, I'm joining Wendy in a nice hotel rather than this, like, crappy plastic house.
Charisse, I can't wait to be
no air conditioning.
I'm sorry. I don't want to hear your pee above my head. I'm going to the Four Seasons.
I forgot about that, flushing the toilet. Can you imagine? You're like, I was sold on this luxury villa. And then now, anytime someone, it's not on the beach, anytime someone above you flushes the toilet, you hear, like, not just the flush, but the subsequent, like, running of the sewage.
This is what I'm saying. Are you sitting there going, like, are they playing a game? Was it pee? Was it poo? Like, come on. Gross. Get me the hell out of there. I'd rather sleep on the couch, mate. Gross. Ooh, I'm
My God.
Oh, I've got the goosebumps.
So funny. Ooh. Okay. Should we head over to Salt Lake / San Diego?
Yes. Sunny San Diego.
So when you guys see these domestic U.S. travel, what are your thoughts?
We get depressed.
You get depressed. Okay, it's not just me.
These are my thoughts. What the pluck? Surely there's a gorgeous resort somewhere in the U.S. instead of these shithole places we're going.
Yes, there are.
Why can't they go to one of those?
I have no
idea. What about in Beverly Hills when they went to that massive 45,000 bedroom place? Where was that?
In Ojai?
Remember in Beverly Hills? Was it Ojai? It was like, it looked like a
winery kind of area.
It looked like a log cabin, but like a mansion log cabin that had like 23 bedrooms or whatever.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm sure they were in the States when they went there. Or maybe it was Mexico. No, I'm pretty sure it was the States. I can't remember. But it was huge.
I think
that place was gorge.
I really wish they went to Hawaii or Puerto Rico.
Oh my God, Puerto Rico would be so good.
Right?
Why can't they go to Puerto Rico?
It's in the United States.
This is what we're saying.
Okay, so I'm wondering if not only can Jen Shah not leave the U.S., but maybe they have sort of a radius around Salt Lake of where she can go.
No, because she has to ask permission every time she wants to leave the state, right?
Right. But if it's something that's like San Diego isn't as far from Salt Lake City as like Hawaii is, right?
I mean, how much further is it? I have no idea.
She goes to New York, right, for trials? Is that where her trial is?
Yeah.
I don't really know.
Yeah,
she goes to New York for that, but that's for that. That's not for... Yeah.
Right, not for travel.
I have a feeling that when she went to BravoCon, she didn't get permission. I really do think that, because I can't imagine them granting that.
Well, she's obviously knows she's going to jail, as you said, for 11 to 14 years. So at this point, I can imagine someone like,
but she
I can imagine
know.
Jen's brain would be like, oh, fuck it. Do you reckon that she's like compartmentalized so much that she's not cognizant of or has a mental awareness of what's actually going to happen?
She's so manipulative. That she can convince you that she's not going to jail.
So do you think she's convinced herself or she thinks she still has the ability to convince someone else?
She can convince herself that anything that happened didn't happen or is untrue. Like, for example, she went to BravoCon. She wasn't invited to be there. She crashed a party with Tamara Judge and Teddy Mellencamp. Tamara came out and said she wasn't invited and this is all the shit she said.
And then
Jen Shah was like, Tamara's lying. Tamara was not lying. Like,
Tamara doesn't lie. Have you noticed that? Like, she might have a skewed opinion, but she's like, I'm not lying. So it's her. And I understand that, you know, we all say your truth, my truth, the truth, whatever.
Jen Shah has her own version of truth, which is all false.
Yeah, she's a compulsive liar. Oh, yeah. There's definitely some mental health issues there. Like,
well, she needs to go to prison so that we can get a good trip. So let's move this date forward. Let's get this trial happening so we can get our gals somewhere tropical.
I know. So there's not going to be any trial anymore because she pled guilty. So it's just sentencing.
Let's wrap it up.
They keep moving it because she keeps asking for it to be delayed a few weeks at a time, and they keep granting it.
I know. And now
who do I need to call? I'm going to call someone.
Do you know when
say,
her next trial date is?
Yeah, when? isn't it
January 6th?
Orthodox Christmas, man. Orthodox Christmas. That's what I said the last.
Oh, it's like, also when I heard the anniversary of the insurrection of the Capitol, which was like maybe not a big deal to everyone, but to people who lived in D.C., it was a horrifying experience.
Sorry, I forgot that. I've still got Christmas on the brain.
Oh no, it makes sense. You're not in the U.S. and you don't have to keep hearing about the January 6th committee.
It was terrifying to watch.
Yeah, I saw some of the people on my street.
Wow.
That's scary.
Mm-hmm. It is. And they had a t-shirt. One of them said 6 million was not enough.
Probably.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm Jewish and had family that died in the Holocaust, so.
Mm. Oh, my. Okay, can we not, like, have me cry because I don't have alcohol near me?
Yeah. It's bad.
And how is that person not in jail? How is that person not in jail?
Because it's like free speech.
Is that not illegal? I'm thinking of like France where it's illegal to make anti-Semitic comments.
Or like Germany
in public.
Where you can't say things like that because it happened there. Yeah. No, I mean, you look at Kanye West and what he's saying and all the platforms he's being given.
Can we please just take him to like a facility
Can Drake just end this? For us, right. Can we have the most famous black Jew get up and just shut him up for good?
Yeah. I mean, is it his responsibility, though?
Just like it was Karen's responsibility to stop me.
Oh, that's funny.
Do you guys, what did you think of that scene with Jen Shah in the bathroom with her antidepressants? Do you feel like they're trying to sell us a certain narrative or that she's trying to sell us a narrative?
That narrative looks like she's got a drug problem, mate. That was a shit ton of bottles. I'm on meds. You have one packet. One packet. You get one packet at a time.
But maybe she has like cholesterol meds and other, I don't know.
That's a shit ton of meds, mate.
I know. Welcome to America.
There's a Lisa Rinna Ziploc bag over there.
I know. Like, at least hers were in the correct bottle.
Like when I go to get my meds, if I say, hey, can I have a double box? Because when I... sometimes I run out and I'm like, shit, I've run out and I might miss a day. Like they look at you and like up and down, like, oh, should we trust you to give you two boxes? It's like, mate, like it's 10 milligrams of Lexapro. Like, calm down. No, man, maybe it's
different. The scene did seem very staged, the way the bottles were lined up in that drawer.
Right?
So I can imagine it is her trying to manipulate us through production. Sure.
Yeah. Like,
but it was also a bummer.
Would we expect her to have like a neat draw like that either? I don't expect
it. Like like that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, like pillbox.
I would expect her drawers to just be full of shit. Right?
Well, I mean, she keeps moving from house to house, so she has to be somewhat organized.
She's got a go bag packed.
Right?
Yeah. Go bag. Well, didn't she have staff at the at all the other moves?
I don't understand, Jen Shah. I really don't get how. Like, who's financing her life? Because I keep going back to BravoCon.
I guess her friends.
She brought a therapist and a jeweler with her to BravoCon.
Yeah, but she and a lawyer. These were thirsty birds.
Yeah,
who thought it would be fun and get publicity for themselves. These are hangers-on. This isn't a support network. They're hangers-on.
Speaking of hangers-on, Angie H. was not invited on this trip.
So funny. Her face at that brunch slash breakfast slash lunch was so funny how her face dropped being like, oh, there's a trip?
I wasn't cast for the trip.
First of all, it's not a brunch when you're having a sandwich, okay? Is it a brunch when you're having a sandwich?
I think it's just the time of day and whether or not it's the weekend.
Yeah, I don't know. But then again, I always just think brunch is like breakfast food after 10 o'clock. Isn't that brunch?
Sometimes they serve lunch food with the breakfast food if people like... Oh,
that's weird. Don't be eating spaghetti in front of me when I'm having eggs. That's just freaking strange, man. I can't cope. I'm not coping.
Jen is letting Meredith invite Dana along because it's Ramadan.
Yes.
What are you trying to sell us, Jen Shah? Because I can't. This is what's really upsetting, that we have not had many Muslim housewives. We've had some on Dubai, but not on the American shows. And then the first Muslim housewife is Jen Shah, and she's just like the way she's showcasing it is, if I were Muslim, I would be very upset by it. And I'm sure people who are watching who, you know, are Muslim are like, oh God, you know, you talk about Ramadan and what it means, and then you go and you behave the way that you do. And
it's we all get upset when we identify with someone being right. part of our culture or our faith. Mm-hmm. Like Joanna Jenkins comes from where my people come from.
Where do your people come from?
Oh, like Bosnia and Croatia. So like, so Joanna Jenkins is Bosnian. And I'm like, oh, great. She doesn't represent my people. She represents herself. Like,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
I know.
I do cringe at it. When she talks about it, I do cringe. I can't help but have a reaction like that. But at the same time, I'm not going to be mad at her. She doesn't represent anything but herself.
It's so interesting, though. We all do this. Like, I don't like when someone is Jewish and behaves poorly, right? I feel like it looks bad. And then you've got Michelle Obama, who says, it's okay for the white women to fight, but I don't want to watch the black women fight on my shows because they infer that we're all like that. And I was like, we all do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I give gay people on TV a pass. Like, I was watching that American Crime Story. You know that gay guy that killed Versace? I was like, you know what?
Oh, he's Andrew gay. Cunanan.
I give him a pass. I said, Andrew Cunanan, I get it.
You get
any, it? Any terrible gay person, I'm like, you know what? Let him be. Instead of taking it on as something bad for me to think about, I'm
it's
like,
it's not your problem. It's,
you do
it's
you,
somebody
boo.
Else's
you,
issue.
Do you, boo. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have to remind myself, hey, she doesn't represent me. She represents herself. And if I was on the TV, I would not represent any of my potential people well, because I'm just me. Like, so yeah, I don't think that's fair to put that on one individual ever.
I agree. I think we take it on as members of like more minority groups, you know?
Yeah.
Where we're like, there's not many of us and a lot of people haven't met someone like us. So when they see someone, that's like what they think of.
I agree. I mean, I totally agree.
Look at our Australian representation on these shows. Michael Darby. Ugh. Like, do you think I don't wake up every day wishing there wasn't someone better than Michael Darby on American TV to represent
100%.
Us?
100%. Why is it? Like, there was the other guy from New York, the other crazy ranger.
Simon
Van Kempen.
Oh,
I mean, come on.
I loved him.
First of all, why are all the Aussies on Housewives freaking rangers? Like, most of us don't look like that, people.
Is Michael Darby a ringer or was he?
Yeah, he was a ringer for sure. Oh, come on. Look at that pale skin.
40 years ago, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I mean, now he has like the, what do you call those? The liver spots? Bless. But like, yeah, come. Like,
this is, oh, I shouldn't laugh
at any
of
this.
They're
the most fucked up representations of Australians, honestly.
Okay. I think you guys probably have the worst representation on Housewives. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not helping the cause either, so.
It's all good. We all represent ourselves. Okay, so they get to San Diego, and they're going through the house, and Angie Kay sort of takes over as running the show. Like, it was supposed to be her, but mainly Jen Shah's trip, but now she's taking them, you know, best room. She's telling everyone where they can stay. She's kind of like oddly running the show. And it's, I don't know, part of me was like, she doesn't even go here, you know?
Yes, I agree. Agreed.
Do you think?
I was the opposite. I'm like, she's a star. Let her on the show. Like, get rid of the other Angies or the other Danas, the other and thens, and just Angie Kay. She's giving me everything.
Well,
like, this was an episode because of her. Yeah.
I think it was actually she, from what the information they're giving us, so I didn't do my own research, I got the impression when she said it's her friend's house. So it's like, well, if I'm going to say, hey, y'all can stay at my mate's house, yeah, I'm getting the best room. It's my mate's house. And chances are that's the bed my mate sleeps in when they're in this house. So I'll be sleeping in that bed, not any of you crazies. So I get it.
I still feel like there's politics with the rooms, and she should have thought that through a little bit.
So you think
rookie
she
error.
Get her place?
Rookie, it was a rookie error. Like, she could have been like, Jen and I are getting this room, but then maybe Jen would be like, I don't want to share it.
Oh, of course she would. Nah, I would probably have said, look, I get it's your trip and you should have the best room, but this is my mate's house and they wanted me to stay in their room. So that's where I'm staying. lied. Say that. If you say that, who can argue?
So on Watch What Happens Live, Heather said that the kind of energy in the room needed to be shifted. And so when Jen Shah poured the champagne on Angie K, that was like a, trying to shift the energy in the room. And I don't know. I disagree. A dingbat. Yeah.
Yeah. Nah. I like Heather, but the way she crawls up Jen's ass and defends every single thing she does, it's like, no.
A grudge.
You can't say that's an energy shift. Like, it's, well, not for the better. It made it worse.
I mean, didn't they also ask her on Watch What Happens Live, like, does she have a line with Jen that, you know, of a line of where she would hit unacceptable behavior? And she said, yeah, I do. I just haven't found it yet. It's like, yeah, that's the whole point, love. That's the whole point.
Like, if you haven't found it yet, you'll never find it.
She, like, her superpower, she should be known as the enabler. She is such an enabler. Poor Heather. I feel sorry for Heather. Like, does she ever get to do what she wants with her enabling behavior? I don't think so.
I'm starting to think that she's much more manipulative than we gave her credit for the last two seasons. Yeah. I'm starting to feel like she is sort of trying to set up certain scenes. She's trying to make certain people look a certain way. And then now she's kind of caught in a couple of lies, saying she doesn't remember things. And
yeah,
I think she's messing up. She's not a pro like Lisa Vanderpump or, you know, who else is like such a good manipulative pro?
Well, I mean,
like Bethany Frankel is very manipulative. You know,
I loved her for it.
I don't think she's as happy-go-lucky. Aw, shucks, look at me.
Oh, God,
But I thought she was like that because she was so consistent, except for at the reunions. And then I started thinking, is she just putting on a show and then the reunions is like what her real personality is?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think she's as calculated as that. I don't think she's as calculated as that. I think things like that do pop in her head, but I don't think she's as good at playing chess. Like, she's not going to be able to like do move after move after move. I think she might have an idea and sort of maybe say or manipulate something to see what happens, but there's no follow through with it. I don't think she's that clever.
What do you think, Nathan?
I think, she is showing herself. We'll have to put a pin in that one and see what happens. But like when she said, I've either forgotten or chosen to forget. And it's like, well, if you've chosen to forget, you should remember that you've made that choice at least. Right. So there's holes appearing.
I think there's holes appearing in her and who she's kind of crafted herself to be.
For sure.
Okay. And then I really think this was a breakout episode for Angie K. I agree with you, Nathan. When she said, you know, like, are you a respected woman? You know, it's like, well, I'm a respected woman. It's like, are you? And she's like, why can't you keep a relationship with anyone? And then she's like, the last thing I want is the SDNY coming to rip up this necklace off my neck. Like,
classic.
That was such a good line.
Yeah, but why'd she take the fucking necklace?
Because who back then she was friends with her.
What, 2 days ago?
Yeah.
It all changed.
It all changed.
You're happy.
That's what they say about San Diego. Things change there.
You're happy to take goods from like illicit gain when it suits you. And then when it doesn't suit you, you're going to throw it in her face. You knew she didn't pay for that necklace with her own actual money and you took it. And then you're going to throw it back in her face. Now, that was a prick move. I don't think it was as great a line as she thinks. I think it was a prick line to say. Like, and have the balls to not say you can't have relationships. That has got nothing to do with why Jen Shah doesn't have a good reputation and you know it. Say, what do you mean you got a good reputation? You're going to jail, bitch. That's it. That's the line.
That is the line. But I think even she's afraid to cross that line. You know who's not, though, is Dana.
Yeah.
I believe there is something in Dana that myself as a viewer has been waiting for, someone to finally have the guts to call Jen on her shit.
But she keeps getting silenced by Heather.
Yes.
Heather's preemptively shushing her up.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. What do you think is going to happen?
I don't think Dana is going to stay silent. even though Heather is trying to silence her. Agreed. Sorry, that was the whole Oprah thing with Meghan Markle. Remember that?
Yeah. I'm yeah. so excited, by the way, for the Meghan and Harry documentary.
The Netflix thing? Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm into it. I'm into it for sure. I wasn't until I saw the trailer and yeah, they suckered me in.
No, I'm fully in, and I don't give a shit about the royals, but
obviously I love them. I love the whole thing. I love the whole pomp. I met love all that stuff.
Prince Harry, so I'm more partial to him.
You met Hello. Prince Harry? Yeah. Why are we fucking talking about Housewives?
It was a while ago. It was in 2016 at the International AIDS Conference. I was in a green room with him and like six other people.
Is he gorgeous?
He was. And he was really tall.
I hear that he has such presence that
he was beautiful. I never thought he was attractive prior to that.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And he was like serious and thoughtful. But I was like less focused on him because Elton John was there and I was like losing my shit over that. Yeah. So
Who else was in this room, Mandy?
It was just the two of them and then these youth advocates for HIV, and I was staffing one of them.
Right.
Cool. And so that's kind of why I was there. But it was like, you know, a long period of time to kind of be around someone that famous, you know, just you really are a fly on the wall in the room.
Wow. You know, Elton John and Prince Harry.
I have pictures on my phone of the youth advocate and them. I was like, I wasn't going to get a picture with myself because like I wanted to be professional.
Yeah. What a shame. What a shame. I bet you regret that.
I would have asked for a selfie.
If I had to do it though, it would have been Elton John, like in a heartbeat. Over Prince Harry. Yeah.
No, I'd rather Prince Harry than Elton.
Elton has done so much, though, with his foundation. I'm, like, obsessed with him and his husband and what they've done.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about for selfish reasons. I I probably would have just been stoked with a little snap of his crotch. I'd be fine with that.
I think you'd get arrested.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wouldn't be asking him to take his pants off. I'd be doing a sly little below the waist. Snap and see what I got.
I would have not. Check out the royal jewels.
All seen that photo. Come on.
Wait, what photo?
The photo of him. He's like, he was out. He was in Africa somewhere, and had to pull over the side of the road to like go and do a whiz. And as he's coming back and doing up his pants, you see like the outline. Oh, it was delicious.
I did not see that.
Don't try to tell me it's Photoshopped. I don't want to believe you. I don't know, bitch, but it was freaking delicious. I was in Africa when this happened. Oh, really? It was gorge. He'd literally come back from the side of the road, like, doing up his pants. And I don't know if there was a breeze or because it was just, you know, like when the clothing is pushed towards the person?
Yes.
Yeah, it was a huge outline.
Nathan is shaking his head.
I'm just like, you've got, like, full vivid memory of this. You're, like, describing it in vivid detail.
Of course I do. It was a special day when I saw that photo. It was a very special day. I'll never forget.
Well, I'm excited for the documentary. I had never thought much of the royals, except for I know my mom used to really like Diana.
Oh, I'm obsessed with the whole thing. Bitch, yeah. I got a tea towel from the royal wedding. Like, I'm obsessed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, man. I'm a nana. I'm obsessed with that shit.
Well, you are from a Commonwealth country, so.
Yeah, I'm into it.
So wait, is the King Charles now on your money?
It's gonna be. It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. I'll just be ignoring it.
It's okay.
We got a day off for the funeral, which was great.
Wait, what? Yeah. Oh, you got a day off for the funeral?
Yeah. Well, public holiday.
Yeah. But it's not going to be every year, which is a shame. We love a public holiday in this country. We're obsessed
with them. Because she doesn't die every year.
I wish.
Let's commemorate. Let's have a remembrance day.
Oh my God. It's okay. Great. All of our money is like former slave owners. So,
yeah. And it's all the same color. That's fucking strange, man.
I wish it was different colors.
Have to look at them.
Yeah, you do.
Is yours still paper or is it plastic?
It's paper.
Like, so if it gets wet, that's it. She's over Red Rover. That's stupid.
I usually like try and let it dry out a little.
Ours is plastic, mate. If it gets caught in the dryer, it comes out the same as it went in. It's great.
Oh, yeah. No, that's not how our money is. There's a lot of things that could be improved on the American experience, but we don't need to go through all of them.
No.
Okay. Any sort of final thoughts? I guess, did you take anything from what Meredith said at the very end of the episode where she seemed to sort of be setting up something for the future, like Jen seems like she's numbing herself and she's in a bad mental place. Like, it was so bizarre to end with that to me.
Well, we had talked about this the other day. We sort of compared it to Erica on the boat. You know how she sort of unraveled. I'm getting the same vibes with Jen based off of the previews for next week. And so maybe Meredith's hinting at something like that, with which is what Garcelle was trying to say. Like, it's along the same lines. But I think the CEO of Fun should not be passing down judgments on a fun trip like that, though.
Yes, Meredith, the CEO of Fun.
You're not doing your job.
Would you consider her a boss bitch, Mariana?
Meredith?
Yes.
I mean, she can call it herself a boss bitch. I'm cool with that. You own a business, you're a boss. Being That's a boss true. Just means that you, you're back to cleaning the toilets, mate. That's what people don't tell you about having your own business.
Right. Unless, it's not easy.
Unless you're going to pay someone to do everything, guess whose job it is to do everything? It sucks.
Yeah.
It's not as fun as it looks.
Oh, that's for sure. And, you know, they only show us the fun stuff on these shows, but I would not be the one wanting to package embellish hats for my own dining room.
Good Lord.
Tell everyone where they can find you. It's always so fun talking to you guys, and I do appreciate you guys making the time zone situation work. So
yeah, it's all good.
No, I know. I almost forgot. I was almost in the spa with the beer. Soz love.
So we're Bravo, Bravo, Effing Bravo. You can up on your podcast app of choice, and you can check us out at Effing Bravo on Twitter and Instagram. And you can leave us 1-star reviews if you so wish.
No, guys, go give them 5-star reviews. They are hilarious and fantastic, and we should all be able to converse without throwing hands about the housewives.
I mean, at the end of the day, like, they're people on a TV show that get paid a feck ton of money to do what they do. Like, it's not that serious, mate.
I think Wendy will sleep fine at night, even if you hate her, Mariana. I think she'll be fine.
As if Wendy gives 2 fucks what I think of her. Like, honestly, who cares?
Oh, my gosh. Did you guys see that her mom and Mia got into it on Instagram? go look at it. It's something else.
Wendy's mom and Mia go at it.
Wendy's mom, like, shredded Mia to bits verbally on Instagram. And I
would have just ignored it. Sorry, that's someone's mom. As much as, like, if just say Wendy's mom was being a See You Next Tuesday.
Yeah.
You don't, like, sorry, that's someone's mom.
I wouldn't respond.
Mia
went
responded.
Back and I wouldn't. It went back and forth. It was really rough. And
Of course, someone's going to go hard for their kid. Like, we were talking about, you know, what's the definition of ride or die? That's someone's baby girl. Like, there's, of course, she's going to.
There's also, like other weird racial and whatever situation, like, because Mia is genetically Nigerian.
Right.
Okay. And Wendy and her mom are from Nigeria. Her mom's from Nigeria.
Right. Yep.
I guess Mia was, like, claiming Nigerian heritage, which she has. And it was kind of like, you're not Nigerian. You, like, don't know anything. You know, it's like, also kind of
tough.
Well,
then if she's going to say stuff like that, then clearly leave it alone.
Right. I mean... That's, you know how I mean? I am about everything. Like, you can say something terrible and I will just
see,
ignore it.
No response is actually a response.
Right.
So I don't think there's anything wrong with going, you know what? I'm not giving you any more airtime. Take it away yourself.
Yeah.
Because someone who rants about someone else's behavior, eventually in that rant is going to say something stupid. So let them, you know, let them deal with that themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't, if I was mayor, I wouldn't have said shit. Because then you can always, like, feign the high ground and go,
yeah, but
I didn't respond because she's your mama. You know what I mean?
Well, we'll see when Wendy's mum listens to this podcast.
I know.
She's coming for you, Mariana.
I think,
fine.
You know,
Mia. I'll probably respond with, like, clap emoji.
Right. Mia just doesn't, she can be baited so easily.
Yeah.
And I feel like I hope she's able to work on that so that she can get through life easier, because it must suck to get upset that much.
I think she would be very
all the
hurt.
Time.
Yeah. If you're going to be that angry, it's because you're very, very hurt by
it. Right.
Bitch probably just wants a cuddle.
Well,
she probably has
a cuddle or a pussy pop
probably has rejection issues and it hurts.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot going on with her. So,
yeah. Hey, look, I'm not trying to say like I'm a Mia stan.
No, it's, I can't look away.
I mean, yeah. No, I can't look away
when
either.
She's on the screen. I'm like, oh no, what is she doing next?
Yeah, true that. I mean, toss a salad or something like she did last season. That was fucking hilarious.
Lettuce leaves.
See, that's the thing. She threw lettuce. We were cool. It was throwing wine and we weren't. So she should just go back to throwing lettuce.
I agree.
Well, the food hadn't arrived yet. That was the problem.
I see. Okay.
Okay. You guys are amazing. I love having you on the podcast, and we will have to chat soon.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks, Mandy.
Bye.